How's everybody doing this morning? Guys doing good? You know, before all week I've been praying about this, and I've just been asking the Lord that what I say might actually carry an impact in your life. That when you hear, you don't just hear my words, but you hear what God is saying to you. How many of you guys think I have the power to change your life? Anybody think that in here? Think, man, Jake has the power, the life-changing power. Nobody thinks that. I don't even think that. So none of us agree. We all agree that I can't do anything. But God can. And I don't want to just come up here and preach a message. I don't even care to be seen. But what I do care is that the Lord would minister to you and give you something and impart something into you that is not just words, a man's ideas or opinions, but that is life-giving word of God that could change your life, that could bring life to you, that could bring peace to you, that could bring freedom to you. Amen? And we should all have that mindset, not coming to just be seen. People like to be seen. I don't know, it's probably always been going on, but I definitely notice it. And I notice it really good when I just look back a year or two at myself. Amen? But you know, the Bible says judge yourself. Doesn't say judge your brother, does it? It says judge yourself. And I've seen how you could, you know, for myself, how I think what I have and what I'm doing is the most important thing, and that it's all about me and my ministry and my this and my that. I heard one brother say this. He said, people in the church have divisions. They all think revival is coming from different areas. One of them thinks it's the children's ministry. One of them thinks it's the youth ministry or the men's night or this or that or whatever you're a part of. Amen? Is that where revival comes from? What you're doing? You know, it's so crazy. God said, it's not by power, it's not by might, but it's by my spirit, saith the Lord. By his spirit. It's going to take the Holy Spirit. And yeah, it's going to take some people that are willing to yield to him, but you know what? Them people aren't going to want to be seen. Them people are going to be pointing to Jesus. Amen? Amen. And you know, it's so easy to get so puffed up. I know. The Bible said knowledge puffeth up, right? But love builds up. But I'm telling you, I've just filled my head full of knowledge and just got blown up real big like a balloon. And I think what I know, I've got the answer to all of your questions. I don't have the answer to your questions or your problems. And I'm starting to learn that instead of just trying to answer all the questions, let's say, hey, let's pray. He's the only one that can do anything about it. And we like to think that I'm the one with the answer. I'm the one that can save your soul. I'm the one that can fix you. No, you can't. You know, it's funny because some of us have been there. Some of us are there. There are the people that aren't laughing because they're like, because we are there. We think we know the answers. We think we got everything that we know exactly how this is supposed to go, and this is how it's going to go, and then revival's going to come. Then we're going to have this. Then we're going to have that. No, we don't know. Hey, do you think in 1,000 years you could have planned up the Holy Spirit dropping on them at the day of Pentecost and 3,000 people getting saved, 3,000 people believing the gospel? Do you think that could have happened by some man idea or man thought? No, it took the fire from heaven falling down and filling these people with the Holy Ghost and power. And then they came out preaching this gospel filled with the Holy Spirit. And then people were getting saved. This wasn't a man-made idea. This wasn't a man-made plan. And this has nothing to do with what I'm preaching about today. But I just know, I know that I know that I know. Everybody's got their own ideas of how things should be. But what if we changed our mindset and began to value one another and love one another and honor one another and to esteem one another better than ourselves? That'd be a little different way of doing things, huh? I remember that message Pastor preached whenever he had them people up there and he was pretending to wash their feet, but he was trying to make the point. And he said, we all want to be great. It's all about being great. But Jesus said, who is the greatest in the kingdom? It's the one who comes all the way down to the bottom. All the way down. And you know, somebody like that, they value what the other person has to say more than what they have to say. Amen. And not only that, they'll listen to them. They won't interrupt them. And they won't load their pistol behind their back while you're talking and then shoot. And I'm guilty as anyone. But it's about esteeming one another better than ourselves. Loving one another better than ourselves. Treating one another better than ourselves. Amen. Amen. What if we did things God's way? We got all these ways of how ministry should be and this and that. But what if we did things God's way? What if we loved one another? What if we just obeyed the greatest commandment? He said, a new commandment I give unto you. Love one another as I have loved you, so you also love one another. What if we did it like that? That would be a different way of thinking, wouldn't it, for some of us? Why do we do what we do? If you guys would turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, please. You guys ever heard this before? You know what's fun? Preaching to people that read their Bible, because it's easier to communicate. It's harder to communicate with somebody that doesn't know what's in the scriptures. Amen? Anybody can testify to that? You're trying to paint pictures, but you expect them to know certain things. It's a good idea to invest some time into putting this seed in you. It will produce in you life. And you know what else I've noticed? It's so easy to gather around us preachers. And they might even itch our ear and tell us what we want to hear. But then we don't go to the Word of God for ourselves. It's easy to do that, but the problem with that is you might end up getting deceived and duped and tricked. But what's this Word able to do? It's able to put a light, it's able to bring up the mirror and show you who you are and what you believe and why you do what you do. Amen? And it's able to convict you of the things that needs to change and help lead you to repentance, lead you to changing the way you think, changing the way you do things. But 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1, it says, if I speak in a tongue of men and of angels, but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. Anybody been clanged at before? Come on. You know what I'm talking about, right? It's just like ding dong, and you're looking at them like, when are they going to shut up? This is annoying. Amen? I really wonder sometimes. You see this over people. I mean, sometimes people are intrusive with what they want to say. They intrude into your lives and they tell you something. They don't even have a place in your life, yet they intrude in and they want to tell you something. I'm pretty sure God's going to use the people that you respect and honor to tell you something. He's not going to use some stranger that's going to come and be intrusive into your life to correct you or teach you something. He'll use an elder that loves you or a pastor that loves you. Amen? He's not going to use a stranger that you can't respect or honor or value and come into your life telling you all that you need to do. You know why I'm talking about this? Because this is the reality of communication of the saints. We get in the Word, we find out something, and then we want to tell everybody what we found out, whether they want to hear it or not. People can't receive like that. We got to make sure that we're planting seed in the soil that's receptive. Amen? Because all you could just push people away from God by the droves. The Bible says, humbly receive the word implanted into you. It takes some humility to receive that. It takes, and for us that are on the receiving end, even when somebody is crazy, or you know, this is, man, they are coming at me with the wrong spirit about this, doesn't mean what they're saying is wrong. And you should take it and say, okay, even though they might have been wrong about the way they told me this, I can still receive this. I can still make a change. What do I need to correct in me? But he says, if you're a clanging gong or a cymbal. And he says, if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and knowledge, and if I have all faith so that to remove mountains. I remember when I first got saved, I read that scripture and I thought, I'm going to have the mustard seed kind of faith. And what does it take? How do you get that? And then I saw, well, faith comes by hearing. So I immersed because that's my plan. I'm going to have the mustard seed kind of faith so I can move mountains. But he says, but if I did all that without love, if I do all that without love, I am nothing. So first he says, my words would be nothing. Then he says, I am nothing. And then he goes on to say, if I give away all that I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. You know, this is so amazing to me because I see something where somebody could give. Just imagine. What if I took my whole house, my everything that I own, liquidated it all, just like Jesus told the one man, and sold it all, gave it to the poor, but I did it out of the wrong motive? You know what the Bible says? I gain nothing. And then not only that, but I give up my life to be, my body to be burned just for the sake of somebody else, but I do it for some other reason. I do it because I want to be seen. I do it because I care about what people think about me. I do it because I don't want to face any confrontation. People are pushy. And they push things on us. And a lot of times the reason why we did what we did was just because they pushed me to. And guess what? You profit absolutely zero from that motive. That's why I like what Jesus said. He said, don't fear man, which can kill the body. He said, fear God, who after killing the body can throw it into hell. We shouldn't be so concerned about what man thinks about us. We should be concerned about what God thinks about us. And we should be concerned about, why am I doing what I do? Am I doing it because I love my brothers? Or am I doing it for some other reason? Why do you come to church every week? That was weird. I didn't expect. That was some awkward silence there, wasn't it? Yeah, I really think people were thinking really hard about why they actually come to church. Because we don't know half the time. We get into a tradition and we do it week after week after week after week, and then we forget why we're even doing it. And when it comes to fellowship with the believer, that's like the last thing on our list. We want to get in and get out. I mean, people will be out the door. Oh, I was looking for, that's them driving down the road. How'd they get out so fast? Amen. That's not fellowship. That's not loving the brothers. That's not spending time with your brothers and sisters, encouraging, building relationships. What is that? That's escaping. Escaping. But why do we do ministry? I mean, I just have judged myself very, very much over the last couple years and been thinking a lot about this. Why do I do what I do? Do I do ministry because that makes me right with God? You know, some people would say, absolutely not, but deep down, that's reality. Why do I do what I do? Why do I come to church? Why do I give? Do I give just to get? The Bible says you reap what you sow. Is that true? But is that my motive for giving? Because my Bible says right here that if I give everything I have but have not love, I gain nothing. So what's my motive for giving? Is it because I love? Or is it because I want God to bless me? Is it because I'm scared that if I don't give, God's going to curse me? I read Malachi chapter 3. I know what's in there. Right? Why do we do what we do? God is interested in your motives. That's the thing that's going to be brought to light on the day of judgment. And honestly, that's the thing that the Word of God will bring to light now if you're willing to accept it humbly. But you know, the problem is you could be really pride and accept the Word. And you know what happens? It bounces off. And do you know why it bounces off? Because you say this. You say this. You don't say it with your mouth, but you say this in your heart. Well, that's not me. How about the Pharisee and the tax collector? I thank you. One comes to him, the Pharisee comes to him, and he says, I thank you, I'm not like other men. I pay my tithes. I go to church. Yeah. Yeah. I am more religious than anybody I know. As a matter of fact, if God's pleased with anybody, he must be pleased with me and how much I read my Bible and spend time with, you know, doing ministry and stuff. And then the tax collector comes and he says, he beats his breast, the Bible says, and says, have mercy on me, a sinner. And Jesus said, who went home justified that day? And it's hard to accept, but the one that was pleading for mercy was the one who went home justified. Because the only person that can justify you is Jesus. The only thing that can justify you is the blood of Jesus. No matter how many righteous acts you do, no matter how many good things you do for somebody, it's not going to help you get to heaven. It's not going to help you get to the throne of God. It's not going to help you have a relationship, a living relationship with a living God here and now. Your good works aren't going to help you do that. And I'll be honest with you. There's been times that I've come up to preach and I think, well, God's going to use me because I've been doing this, 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 and this. God's not going to use me because of that. He's going to use me because he loves you. Has nothing to do with me. And my motives could be totally off and God could still bless you because he's not interested in what I'm doing. He's interested in what you're doing. He's interested in you. And that's why I really believe it's a very important to distinguish the difference between the anointing that's on you for somebody else and their relationship with Jesus. Because people, they'll be in the anointing of God, they'll be worshiping, and they think for some reason my relationship with God is strong because of that. And that's why people freak out when they're out, when they get outside of ministry and they're not ministering all the time, because it's hard for them to understand their relationship with God when all it is about ministry. Amen? Amen. Good word. But I do believe we should be ministering to people. But with what motive? With what motive? Love. If I do anything, but I don't do it out of love, why am I doing it? Why am I doing it? I wanted to backtrack a little bit and, well, actually, let me tell you a little story about the Pharisee and the tax collector. So I was talking to my children about this, because I could tell my daughter had this sense of righteousness. But it was self-righteousness. Let me tell you, she had a sense of righteousness, but she was right because of what she has done and her excellent character. And so we begin this, I tell them about this tax collector and this Pharisee, and she says, I said, who do you think is the one that went home justified that day? And she said, well, the Pharisee. I said, wrong. And she said, what? I put it in terms she can understand. Don't get me wrong. And she's like, what? I said, yeah, don't you know? One lie could send you to hell. One sin. And the Bible says all have sinned and all fall short of the glory of God. One lie. One. And Zayah says, my son, he says, one lie, you go to hell? Condemnation just hit this boy. And the fear of hell hit him. And the reality of it. And the reality of his sin and his shortcoming hit him. And he sat there and you could just tell. Like his face instantly went downcast. You know what I love about children? They're so honest and they're so real. And you're going to see who they are when you look at them. They're not going to hide. They're not going to pretend to be something they're not. They are who they are, and that's it. And you could see, right, if they got a problem, their lip pokes out, and there's no hiding it. Amen? Their lip pokes out. Tears start running down their face, and it's annoying for somebody who's a dad. It's like, come on, toughen up. You know what I'm saying? But at the same time, you realize they're just being real. And so I said, but there's good news. And he's looking and he's listening intently. And I said, Jesus came and he died your death so that you could go to heaven and be with God. And you know what he did? His downcast face just lifted. And he began to smile. And he said, that's awesome. You know what I saw? I saw somebody believe the gospel just like that. He heard it and he believed it like a child. So many times we like to say, well, that can't be enough. That can't be it. But, you know, believing, I'm going to try to do this without having to, I'm going to quote scriptures, but you guys can look at them later, okay? Maybe write them down or something. That way, for the sake of time, and because I got a lot of scriptures and stuff, but I want to read them to you. She'll put them on the screen probably. But if not, just maybe jot them down, and then you have them, and you can go back and look at them. But I want to kind of go back into how this whole thing took place and I guess look at this old covenant and the new covenant, and we see how we have been brought into the new covenant, right? We've been brought in by the blood of Jesus, it says in Ephesians. I'm going to read that one to you. It's in Ephesians 2, I'm going to start at verse 8 because I really like everything this says. He says, for by grace you have been saved through faith. Let me say this. It is by grace you have been saved, not by your good works. It's not by your effort. It's not by your goodness. It's because Jesus loved you and because Jesus made a promise to Abraham that he would send his son. And that's why you're saved. But how do we receive that? So grace paid the price for everybody, but how do we receive that? The Bible says through faith. We believe it. We believe it. And when we believe it, the Bible says we are sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. in Ephesians chapter 1. After hearing the word and believing it, we are sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is the one who does some serious work in our lives. The things that you couldn't do on your own, the Holy Spirit is going to empower you to do. Amen? And it might take some time to think about these things, but like I said, jot them down. Ephesians chapter 1. But it says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not of your own doing. You didn't do anything to deserve this, and you are never going to be able to deserve this. It is the gift of God. You know, some people give gifts because you got them a gift. Other people give gifts just because they love you. And that is the only reason, the only motive behind the gift that they gave you is because of pure, I love this person and I want to give them something. Amen. And when you give somebody something like that, there is nothing that they did to earn that. They didn't work for it. They didn't do anything for it. It was no exchange, period. Now, when you give somebody a gift and you expect something in return, guess what? That's not a gift. That's not a gift. That's a trade. You can call it and mask it under whatever you want to mask it under, but it's not a gift. And you know, if we're going to be Christians, if we're going to be believers in this Christ, if we are going to be disciples of Jesus and live like Jesus and do like Jesus, then our gifts should be unconditional. Our love should be unconditional. I love you no matter what. Not because of how you treat. I mean, Jesus was loving the guys that was putting nails in his hands. Stephen was loving the guys that were throwing rocks at his head. Amen. It is the gift of God. You can keep going if you have it. Not a result of works, so that no one may boast. This is a problem if you're boasting about why you're saved. And it doesn't have to do with Jesus. Well, I had somebody, and don't get me wrong, I'm going to get into to the commands of Jesus and stuff like that, but I had somebody come up to me and they said, I said, how do you get saved? And they said, well, you believe in Jesus and then you try to live a pretty good life. I thought, try to live a good life? It's like, where do you read that scripture at? I haven't found that one. Now, I do see certain things in the scriptures that tells me to do certain things. Like add to your faith, moral excellence, right? There are things we're supposed to do, but just trying to live a good life, what is a good life? Do you even know? No. But no, that no one may boast, because the problem is whenever we do live a good life or we do a certain thing, you know what happens? It becomes, we get puffed up about it. We become arrogant about it. And we think it's something that we've done. And then, you know, you look at the fruit of your ministry or whatever and you start to get puffed up about that. I'm telling you from my own experience. Amen. I'm just being honest with you guys. Because you know what? We've all dealt with these things. Because before we got saved, we were full of something, and it wasn't Jesus. It was pride. And do you know pride, it likes to hide and pretend. Pride likes to act like it's more than it is. Pride likes to take credit. Are you proudful? Do you like to do those things? Pride boasts. Pride is a dangerous thing. Pride won't receive correction. Pride won't even ask. You know, it's something special to go to somebody that you honor and value, that's above you in life, and ask questions about your life. What do you think about this? I'm thinking about maybe going to a different church. What do you think about it? What if you asked your pastor that before you just got mad and left? Pride does that. And the last thing a pastor wants to see is somebody that he loves and cares about go and just get shipwrecked in their faith. Can I get an amen, somebody? there's people in this church. I know there is love in this church. But there's also lots of junk. By my experience, I've been part of the junk just like anybody else. And I'm not speaking for you, I'm speaking for me. But one thing I'm seeing is that we need to honor one another. Love one another. Value your brother, your sister. Don't look at their shortcomings. That's not your business. They're not your servant. They're the Lord's. Don't talk about their shortcomings. The looking at them is one thing. Talking about them is worse. Because not only are you aware of their shortcomings, now everybody else that's listening to you is aware of their shortcomings. None of us are perfect. None of us are fully mature, reached the fullness of... We're all pressing toward to the mark of the high call. Is that not so? Some of us think we've arrived. Maybe. It's easy to think that. I know many times I've read things in the scripture and I thought, that's not me. And then about a year later or so, I'd be like, oh man, that was me to the 10th power. That was me, me, me. I did all that. Like the Pharisee and the tax collector. So many times we want to be like, oh yeah, I'm the tax collector. But in your mindset, it's full of Pharisee. But you know what pride does? Pride says, that's not me. How about this one? We talk about the commands of Jesus. He said, don't be anxious about your life. You know what people do? They're carrying cares and anxieties and fears like crazy. And they tell everybody about it. And then somebody mentions, hey, you see the scripture? It says, don't be anxious about it. I am not. Yes, you are. But I mean, who's going to say that? Only somebody that loves you. Yes, you are. No, I'm not. We like to believe that we are perfect. It's like a trap of the enemy. This puffed upness. Just because I know it, doesn't mean I'm doing it. Just because I hear the word doesn't mean I'm doing the word. Or love one another. Oh, I love them. Well, why are you talking bad about them? You know. No, I don't know. Yeah, what if we did that? I've done that before. I hear somebody talking about, hey, let's pray for them. It's like, you know, their lip probably came up and they crushed her face and said, I don't want to do that. What did Jesus say? Love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. But you don't know what they did to me. I don't think it matters what they did to you. If Jesus is Lord and he told us to love one another. Amen. How about forgiveness? You know why I'm talking about these things? Jesus said, teach them all that I have commanded you. You know why? Because the words of Jesus are life. They are life to those who find it. The commands of Jesus are life. You want to come up a level in your life? You want to come up a level in your relationship with God? Well, do what Jesus said do. Don't just hear it, because the man that hears is like a foolish carpenter who built his house on sand. And although it looked like a house, when the storm came and the floods rose, the house got crushed. And the last thing you want to see as a believer that loves the people around you is for their house to be crushed, for there to be nothing left, for their faith to be absolutely wrecked. That's the last thing you want to see. But why does that happen? Because people just hear the word and don't do it. They hear to forgive and they say, oh yeah, I forgave that person. Am I preaching to anybody in here? Did you forgive? Did you really forgive that person? Instantly, people so quick. Oh yeah, I forgave them. Why are you still talking about it? How come when I bring up their name, your face gets crunchy? Oh, I don't like them. How come you delight when you hear evil about them? It's like, oh yeah, say it again. Say it again. Can't stand them. Am I preaching to anybody in here or not? You know what the problem, you know why we can all relate? Because we all have the same God and we have the same enemy. That's why we can all relate to this. That's why I'm able to share up here from my experience. I'm not judging anyone. I'm telling you what I've done, and I'm telling you what the Lord has corrected me on and shown me and taught me, and I'm telling you that I believe that it will help you too. And not only that, but as we do this, we will grow up and be built up in love for the saints. Love. Jesus commanded, a new commandment I give you, to love one another as I have loved you, so you also love one another. How much do you love the person next to you? You know, so many times we want to just do what we want to do in their life and then get out. But you know what? They need a friend. I've been thinking about that with the youth lately. You know, it's like so many times I've just preached to them. And I realize maybe they don't want to just be preached at. Maybe they need somebody in their life that's willing to be there for them. Amen. And you know what? There's people in your guys' lives that don't just want to hear what you got to say. Sometimes they could say nothing and it could be more impactful than all the words that you could say, because it just could be like a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. Brother Ken Lentz. Does anybody remember Brother Ken Lentz? My grandma passed away, and her funeral was 2 hours away. And the last thing I expected was to see anybody that I knew there, you know. And it was, you know, it wasn't too weighty on me, like the death of my grandma, because I wasn't really that close to her. But when I'm sitting in the car and we had just got past the funeral and we were about to drive to the burial, and I see Brother Ken Lentz come outside and just walk to his car. And I thought, he was here the whole time. I didn't even see him. And then I just started weeping because I realized that's love. He didn't say anything, but he showed me what God looks like. He showed me what God looks like. And that made me realize sometimes it's not about what you got to say. Sometimes it's what you do. Maybe somebody just needs a friend. Maybe they just need somebody to listen. Maybe they just need somebody to take them out to lunch. Maybe they just need somebody to spend a little time with them. I'm just going to skip over to 1 John. First John chapter 3, please. You know, I'm going to tell you, I think one of the biggest reasons why we don't love people is because we don't value them. I'm going to say that again. One of the biggest reasons why we don't love people is because we don't value them. You know how I know that God loves me? Because he valued me enough to send his son to die for me. That's high value. Let me read, before I read this in 1 John, I want to read, I was going to go into the covenants, but I'm going to skip that for right now. I feel like the Lord's leading me in a different direction. But this is what agape, which means the God kind of love, is. This is a Greek scholar's definition of it, if you will. Okay? I'm going to read it to you. I wrote it in the back of my Bible because I wanted it. I knew I needed it, right? It says, agape occurs when an individual sees, recognizes, understands, and appreciates the value of an object or a person, causing him to behold this object or person in great esteem, awe, admiration, wonder, and sincere appreciation. Such great respect is awakened in the heart of the observer for the object or person he is beholding that he is compelled to love. In fact, his love for that person or object is so strong that it is irresistible. This kind of love knows no limits or boundaries in how far, how wide, how high, and how deep it will go to show love to its recipient. If necessary, agape will even sacrifice itself for the sake of that object or person it so deeply cherishes. Agape is therefore the highest, finest, most noble, and most fervent form of love. You know, some people, they say they love you, but they really just love what you can do for them. Right? I love you only as long as you're doing for me what I want you to be doing for me, and then when you quit doing that, then I don't love you anymore. And I feel like the word love is tossed around really nonchalantly, if you will. I love you. I love you too. I love you. Love, 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 love. But do you really mean it? Do you really value the person that you're saying that you love? Amen. Value. Value. And you know the New Testament preaches this all throughout. It's just in different words. Esteem one another better than yourselves. Honor all men. Right? In 1 Peter, I think it is. But in 1 John chapter 3, verse 14, I want to read this to you. I think this is really good. He says, "We know that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brothers." This is heavy, because if you're not walking in love towards your brother or sister, you got a question. Am I really in light? Am I really in life? Or am I experiencing death and darkness? 1 John is all over this. And he says, "By your love for the brothers, whoever does not love abides in death. Everyone who hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. But if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him?" Do you see needs in your brother and sister's lives? And the second question is, do you care? He says you could close your heart against them. You see a brother or sister in need of a friend. Do you make yourself available? You see a brother or sister in need of financial help. And you got it. You got it. It's not gonna hurt you too bad, but it is gonna hurt you a little bit. You're not gonna have everything that you want. It's gonna be a sacrifice. But do you love them enough to sacrifice what you have to help them out? That's the true motive of giving. Love. Love. That's the right motive. That's the motive where there is gain. There is gain, the Bible says. He says, "I gain nothing." So what happens if you love, if you're giving out of love? Well, then that must mean that there's some kind of gain to that. Why do you preach to somebody? Why do you preach the gospel? Do you preach the gospel? But why? You know, some people preach the gospel out of wrong motives. The scripture says that. People like to preach the gospel just so they could add another notch to their belt. You are not a notch. Amen. You are the beloved of God. But do we preach the gospel because we know how much they need it? We know, and we know that they need this, and I see a brother in need, and I can give them what they need. I have it. I have something to give. I have something to give. You guys know you have something to give? Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. That's enough right there that'll just rattle somebody. And I, you know, you could tell somebody something. I was at work and I told somebody something, and it was just something small. And then a couple days later, he's talking about it again. You know why? Because the Lord, he is able to bring things up to their remembrance. He's not going to let your words fall to the ground, especially the ones that you sow in love. Hallelujah. I'm so glad. And you know, this is a way to put your heart at rest. Whenever you see your brother in need and you're compelled to love and you're compelled to help their need and give them what they need, and you do that and you watch them just glow because they know they're loved, and then all of a sudden you can put your heart at rest in the presence of God saying, I know that I've passed from death to life because I love my brothers and sisters. I can know that I've passed from death to life because of my love. And when you see a need, do you look to the Lord? Lord, can I fix this? Can I help? Can I be a part of this? I want to help them some way, somehow. I mean, you guys remember Brother Yorgi and some of the things he was saying? This man is the picture of what it looks like to love people. I mean, the wood. I mean, just making sure widows have wood. What is that? That's the love of God. Making sure people got buildings to preach in. That's love. This is pure and undefiled religion. Take care of the widows and the orphans. And you know what I love about this? Is we are a part of a church that have the opportunity to sow into that. And not out of, hey, guess what I gave, guys? Yeah, I gave like a couple $100 to that. What do you think about that? I don't think about that. Think about me. Amen? So what do you guys think? Can we repent from our own selfish, prideful ways and turn to love? Turn to doing things God's way? What if you see your brother in need? Or what if you just see somebody at work that isn't saved? Would you do something for them? You know? He didn't say take care of the saved widows and orphans. Did he? He didn't say that, did he? Oh, we only take care of those people that are saved. What? People need to be loved. You know, I think about one of the things I've heard. You guys want to know what I've heard? I've heard some bad reports about restaurants on Sunday mornings. Sunday mornings, they say that it's the worst day to go and be working at a restaurant. You know why? Because all the church people come out there with their super cheap selves and don't show them any love, but only disrespect, only dishonor, only no value. Oh, well, he wasn't even at church today. He's over here working on the Sabbath day. Heathen. And then so we're like, okay, well, they didn't really give me what I want, so I'm not tipping them. I'll give them this track. Hopefully they get saved from it. They don't want your track. But what if you gave them extra? And I'm not talking about $3. I'm talking about $20, $30, $40. It's like, but that hurts. That hurts, doesn't it? But that's sacrifice. Love sacrifices itself. Love sacrifices itself for somebody else. What if you just showed them how much you appreciated them? And they might have done a sucky job, but you know what? While you were a sinner, Christ died for you. Come on. And so they might do a terrible job. You bless them anyways. You don't complain. You don't look for the manager. You tell them how much you love them and you bless them anyways. That's called grace. That's the very nature of the thing that we're saved by. Unmerited, undeserved favor. Why would you give me such a huge tip? Well, I love you. Because God first loved me. And he did something in me. The Holy Spirit has been shed abroad in our hearts. But you know why I think the New Testament constantly tells us what to do and what not to do? Because we haven't quite learned how to yield to the love that's within us. We're too busy yielding to the flesh and thinking about what we want and this and that. But the reality is the Bible's telling us these things, but we're supposed to put on the new man. We're supposed to put that on. And when you entered into this new covenant, God wrote his law on your heart and put it on your mind. As soon as you believed in Jesus, God put it on your heart and put it in your mind. And as Romans chapter 5 says, that the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. It's a fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, right? All these things, it's by the love of God. It's by what God has already placed on the inside of you. And so our job is to make sure we're yielding to the right thing. Amen. Yielding to the Spirit of God, yielding to love. Oh man, I feel like I should do that. Nah, I need this. No, you don't. I feel like I should give this. I feel like I should buy this person. I feel like I should tell this person this. Or some of us, the Lord's trying to get through, but we're so hardened towards him. And we're sensitive to other things. That's why the Bible says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of the mind so that you can prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Amen? I'm going to keep reading this and then we'll go on. And I'll just close out. I want to finish with this though. He says, little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. By this we shall know that we are of the truth and reassure our hearts before him. For whenever our hearts condemn us, God is greater than our hearts and he knows everything. Beloved, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God, and whatever we ask, we receive from him because we keep his commandments and do what pleases him. And this is the commandment. This is his commandment. That we believe in the name of the Son of Jesus Christ and that we love one another just as he has commanded us. Whoever keeps his commandments abides in God and God in him. And by this we know that he abides in us by the Spirit whom he has given us. Holy Spirit empowered people loving one another. Holy Spirit empowered people loving one another. Amen. So spend some time to meet the people next to you, to talk to the people next to you. Spend time to build relationships with one another. The fellowship. We are a body of believers. We are supposed to be loving one another, helping one another. Amen. And why do we do that? Just because we love. It's in us by the Holy Spirit. So I'm going to ask Brother Ray to come up, and he's going to take the offering and close out what I was talking about and things of that sort. But I want you guys to know, I love you, and I believe that God is going to fulfill his will in Life Church. I used to think it was all about me and me fulfilling the call of God for my life, you know what I'm saying? And now I've got a stronger desire that's in me to see Life Church fulfill the call of God that's on their lives. To see us all fulfill what God has called us to do in this earth. Because it's not just about one. It's about all of us.